from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I do this all the time. I try to tweet out what's going on in the show right before I go on, and then I realize I hit it. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to rock and roll, and then I made a mistake. I did not capitalize bills. The other thing is, like, it happens to me sometimes, but I see other people do it too. Now, when I do it, I mean, I know there's no apostrophe in bills, right? Buffalo Bills. But you read literally people who do put it in headlines, an apostrophe, or... And it can be a mistake. Sometimes I'll tweet it out, and I like to talk to text a lot, right? So I'll say something like, the Buffalo Bills set their 53-man roster on Tuesday, and there were a few surprises. Like, I might text that into my phone, talk that into my phone, and when I look at it, it's B-I-L-L apostrophe S, like it belongs to Bill. So I have to go and change it. And if I don't notice it for some reason, I just glance over it, which I can do, then it goes out like that. I'm like, crap, I can't do that. Got to change it. I actually see some people put B-I-L-L apostrophe S and they kind of don't know the difference or don't realize it at all, which is kind of weird. Anyway, that just kind of happened now, which is that I just tweeted out that a day after the Bills roster was set, we're going to talk about it today here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So thanks for being with me. Today, a big show for you. We're going to hear from several of the Bills players from yesterday. How about this? The three new Bills players. My goal is to get you yesterday the sound from the three new Bills players. So actually, two new Bills players and one that's been here but made the team in Joanne Dreesen. But we're going to do that. My plan is to get that to you soon, and you can hear from them everything they said yesterday. Also talked to Jamarcus Ingram, and I talked to Cam Lewis, as well as Joe Andreessen, about three University at Buffalo products making the Buffalo Bills. All three, by the way, undrafted free agents. How crazy, right? How cool. Speaking of the UB Bulls, Paul Peck's going to join me at 11:30 to preview tonight's game. The Bulls tonight, at home, opening the season against Lafayette from the Patriot League. Talked with Pete Lembo last week. You heard that? It's going to be really interesting. The Pete Lembo era begins tonight, right across the street, basically, from where I'm sitting here in our Amherst studios. So that's at 11:30. We'll kind of go backward here. At 11 o'clock, Adam Krautwurst is going to join me. We're going to talk fantasy football. Yes, it is that time. Lots of you have drafts going on this weekend. We'll get you all set one more time to get buttoned up for your draft. If you don't do your draft this weekend, well, I shouldn't say when you're going to do it. I actually have a draft the night before the season starts. Every year we do a draft the night before the season starts. I mean, it's a little late, but at least you know every starting quarterback, pretty much every injury that's going on in the league. At least guys like, you know, long-term and things like that. At 10:30 today, told you we got a lot going on. Our buddy Marcel Louis Jacques is going to join me. Marcel used to cover the Bills here for ESPN, NFL Nation. He now covers the Miami Dolphins. He's been there for a few years. Mike White comes from Miami to Buffalo. Talked yesterday with Paul Esden, Boy Green, about Mike White's time with the Jets. But how about Mike White's time with the with the Dolphins as he comes over to the Bills? So we got a full pack show for you today. 10:30, Marcel Louis Jacques, 11 o'clock, Adam Krautwurst, 11:30, Paul Peck. In the meantime, your phone calls at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So yesterday, the Bills set their practice squad right a little after 2 o'clock, just before 2:30 when we heard from Brandon Bean. Thank you very much to Bills PR, like doing that, putting that right out so we could talk to Bean about it. That was nice. Good timing. Not coincidental, but very nice for all of us to be able to just kind of know exactly who's on the practice squad and what we're looking at and we could ask about. But that's always fluid. That's always changing. And today, how about this? We already have reports of a practice squad addition for the Bills. Lewis Seen, who is a former first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings just 2 years ago. Apparently, according to Mike Garafolo, Ian Rappaport, and others, is signing with the Buffalo Bills practice squad. Now, Seen is a player who, when he came in the league, I mean, he was thought very highly of. In fact, he was drafted in the first round, the last pick overall in the first round, by the way, a couple of years ago. But a few weeks into his NFL career, had a severe broken leg. Missed the entire rest of his rookie season in 2022. Came back last year, did wind up playing early in the season, and then they made him inactive pretty much most of the rest of the year, except for a couple games. It was tough for him to get on the field. I don't know how much the injury necessarily played into that, recovering from it. Just wasn't the same player maybe they thought they would get when they drafted him, you know, didn't develop maybe in that regard. So this is not a player that, oh my God, they're getting this former first-round pick who's put a lot of time in and he's really developed and he's sensational. That's not the case. But it is a player that the Buffalo Bills obviously want to get a look at as a young player, a safety, a position where they've had some injuries, they've had a lot of changeover, obviously, and maybe they had a really good grade on him when he came out of college. I mean, he was a first-round pick, right? But the bigger thing here is, too, the relationship with Jamel Adai. That is his former college coach, who is now with the Bills, coaching defensive backs, coaching corners, I think specifically, but in the secondary. So that relationship mattered, and apparently he's going to be signing with the Bills. Still nothing on Jalen Virgil, but Brandon Bean did say yesterday, the wide receiver for the Broncos, the Bills are still talking with him, and that is a possibility they could bring him in. The Bills practice squad is at 16 right now. As I reported yesterday, as we didn't know going into the day, but found out later, Kingsley Jonathan actually gets an exemption this year because the Bills have designated him as an international player. Every team gets one international player on their practice squad who is exempt to give you a 17th player. And there are some different qualifications that go along with that. Kingsley Jonathan was born in Nigeria, came to the United States when he was 16, played 2 years of high school football. He meets those qualifications. So the Bills designated him as an international player on the practice squad, allowing them one extra practice squad player. So if they sign Seen, he'll be their next guy, and they don't have to do anything. If they also sign Virgil, then you'll have to make a move. And if they sign Virgil, my guess is it's probably a receiver that goes out, not totally sure, maybe Deion Kane. I don't know. People suggest KJ Hamler. I think the Bills want a little punt return insurance in Hamler and Hardy. Maybe Kane's the last guy, but we'll see. They could also elect to go somewhere else and just say we need a lot of wide receivers. Of course, yesterday, the story of, in fact, Tuesday, I should say, the story on Tuesday for the Buffalo Bills really was Joe Andreessen here locally making the team. 53-man roster. We've seen the viral video. Eric Rupp talking to the Lancaster High School team, then breaking out into the Buffalo Joe chant. So yesterday, Joe Andreessen's first full day in uniform out on a practice field with an NFL team as an actual rostered player. We caught up with him. I was part of the media group to talk with him. Here's Buffalo Bills linebacker, Lancaster High School and UB product, Joe Andreessen.
What was the moment like when you realized you were making the team?
I would say definitely grateful. That's probably the best word to use. Grateful just to have the trust of the coaches. But I would say it was kind of like a switch because there's still a lot left to be done. A lot left to prove, not to only me, but my teammates now, because I'm given that opportunity to be on this team to help this team win. So, yeah, it's, in this league, there's no security. So I have to keep coming out here, putting work in every day, put good stuff on tape, and do everything I can to help this team win.
When you think back to the spring and you're just an invitee here, did you even dare to think that this would be where you're going to be in August here?
That was the goal. So, to say no to that question would be a lie, because then I'd just be wasting my time. I came in here to try and prove I can play football. But to say that there was, no doubt or anything like that would be lying. You have bad days and stuff like that. You get down on yourself just like anyone else. I believe in myself. Just happy how it worked out. Yeah.
How did you find out? And then what did you do right after that?
I got word from my agent in the morning that it looked good. And, we had practice and stuff yesterday, so it was just a normal day for me pretty much. Definitely my first time being in a professional organization and seeing, whatever you want to call it, cut day happen, kind of different vibe to the building and everything like that. I saw a lot of my friends and people that I've grown close to over the past months get let go, so it's kind of a bittersweet in that sense.
Who was the first call when you did find out and you knew it was for sure?
One of my agent called me and said that I was at home, so my mom was working from home that day and my dad was home, so they kind of found out, and then I called my girlfriend. So yeah, girlfriend.
Did you see the video of the Lancaster team yesterday when the coach told the news?
I did. Yeah, that made me smile. That was very cool. Because I was in that position too, not that long ago, so definitely cool.
Now that you've made the team, what's the next step for you in terms of switching to a different mentality? You were obviously grinding it out just to make the roster. Now, like you said, not secure in your roster spot,
yeah,
but different role.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure is the right word, but something to lock in even more for. If I've, God willing, if I'm out there on Sunday, I'm going to have to make plays for this team. And, I've been a fan of this team for a while, so there's even more maybe than the average player. I want this team to win, no doubt, this organization to win.
Joe, who was your favorite Buffalo Bill growing up?
I'd probably say recently it was Matt Milano, probably, over since he's been playing. So I know he's my teammate, so, but yeah. Yeah. So Matt Milano, yeah.
Brandon Bean mentioned the local pro day and how that allows this organization with guys like you to maybe have a different experience, more intimate and things like that. What do you remember from the local pro day and who you interacted and met with here?
I met with everyone I see around the building now, but at the time I didn't know. I didn't exactly know. I knew who Brandon Bean was and Coach McDermott, obviously, just from watching the news and stuff like that. But I didn't know maybe all the coaches and everything like that. It's a day that people can come in, much like myself, and try and show you belong. So great opportunity.
What's it been like with the Buffalo Joe thing and just everything that's going on around town and what that's been like for you?
It's been cool. I love this city. I love Western New York. Going to Bryan, you'd ask my teammates there. I'm always talking about Buffalo and stuff like that. Maybe it gets a bad name for the weather and everything like that. But, I grew up here. I have a special attachment here. So, seeing that stuff's cool. Just like the blue-collar mentality of Buffalo. I think that's what makes it great.
How'd you get in the J.P. Losman picture? What was that all about? What do you recall from
it? I don't recall much. I know it was that training camp when I couldn't even tell you what age, but obviously very young. And they used to have... I think my mom is telling me, right, used to have a picture tent where the guys, autograph signing tent. So yeah, we went in there when I was little and got that picture taken.
Does it seem real that you were a member of the Buffalo Bills?
No, you know, I had a lot of people tell me congratulations, kind of, just within the building yesterday. You know, not many, like, rookie tryout or even undrafted guys, period, make it. And they were telling me congrats, and, you know, I don't know if I take compliments the best way. I just kind of laugh because it's like, it doesn't feel real, you know. It doesn't feel like yesterday or today, you know, just another work day. Just keep, like, so, no, to answer that question, no, yeah.
Were you like a Zubaz guy? Break tables or how deep does your Bills fandom go?
I was never a break table guy. I've seen tables been broken before. I'd go to the grass lot. That's where me and my childhood friends would go. Yeah.
That is Joe Andreessen, a member of the Buffalo Bills 53-man roster, of course, Lancaster High School, Bryant University, University at Buffalo. Really great story. Good for him. I mean, he's got to keep working every day, though. Every day's a job interview, right? That's what you say. It's Brandon Bean said he was checking every box along the way all the time, and he continued to do that. And he earned his spot. He earned his spot on the Bills 53. Now, is he active on game day? I don't know. That might be too much to ask at this point. You never know, though. But we'll see a week from Sunday if he's active against the Arizona Cardinals and, you know, where this journey takes him and where he ultimately winds up. People have asked, what does a contract look like? Generally, UDFAs, undrafted free agents, whether you whether you're signed right out of college or you sign later, it's generally a three-year contract. So that's a standard for UDFA. I'll confirm on that, but that should be the case for Joe as well. And that means the Bills would have rights to him for the next 3 years at a minimal salary, and then the Bills would have, you know, a restricted free agency right as well on him. But that's every undrafted free agent generally. There could be some exceptions here or there. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. By the way, speaking of Northtown, next Thursday, a week from today, is the opening of the NFL season, of course, right? Ravens at Chiefs. You know what else it is? It's me live at Northtown Kia. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but 10 to 12 next week, Northtown Kia, Sheridan Drive. Gonna have some WGR swag. Gonna have Paula's Donuts there, and you're gonna have me. So just come for the swag and the donuts. I don't care, but I'll say hi to you anyway. All right? The Buffalo Bills next Thursday will be preparing for the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals, interestingly enough, are one of the few teams who have less reps and snaps for their starters than the Bills had this preseason. The Bills hardly played their starters. What, Josh Allen played two series? One quarter? That was it. The plan was for more, but they didn't. The plan was for none for the starters and Kyler Murray in the offense for the Arizona Cardinals, and they got none. Kyler Murray didn't play. Trey McBride didn't play. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't play. James Conner didn't play. So if there's any concern over the Bills and reps and being in rhythm and playing right away in week one without having all of that, I would say that concern can be a little bit tempered by the fact that their opponent had less than them. None. Everybody's different in how they treat the, you know, preseason. And that's how Arizona treated it. The Bills yesterday made it official. They signed Mike White to the practice squad. Now, there is still some wondering whether or not Mitch Trubisky will be ready to play week one. But as I keep reminding everybody, it's not just week one. Mitch Trubisky doesn't have to be ready to play necessarily in 10 days from now. He's basically got to be ready to play a week from now. Because he's got to prepare. You can't just have the guy take no reps at all in practice and not know the game plan and then just show up on Sunday. I don't think that's ideal. I mean, that you could do it. You know, technically, sure, you could do it. Operationally, you could do it. I just don't think the Bills want to do something like that. So Mike White comes in, a guy that's going to get a crash course in the playbook very quickly. And then we'll see. Does he get elevated from the practice squad for that game? Does he actually sign a contract and put Mitch Trubisky on IR for that game and then the next 3 weeks after that? We'll see how it all plays out. But Mike White comes to the Bills. We all remember what happened when he played against the Bills here in Buffalo a few years ago. 4 interceptions. Matt Milano with an unbelievable hit on him. And, yeah, I mean, Mike White is a gunslinger. And I've always appreciated that about his mentality. The interceptions are a little too many when you look in that category. What, 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions? But I always have respected his game and have said that. That he's a guy that he's going to go out there and he's going to try and make a play. He's not going to be check down Charlie or just be conservative. But when he gets in a rhythm, he's really good. We heard that from Boy Green yesterday, Paul Esden. That was the thing about Mike White that he said that stood out to him in his time with the Jets, which is when he's in a rhythm, he's really good. When things start to snowball, it can get a little frustrating and hairy because he tries to make a few too many plays then and things just aren't going well and then they get really bad. Well, let's hope the Bills necessarily don't have to use him week one. I mean, let's hope they don't have to use him other than to kneel down at the end of the game maybe if he plays. But we'll see where it goes with Mike White. Here is the newest quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. We caught up with him yesterday after practice, Mike White.
Welcome. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
What went into the decision to come here?
Just talking to Bean, and they even pulled Josh into it, and Joe, just all honestly seeing this place from afar, too, for all these years, contributed. But, yeah, I thought it was a good opportunity. All you hear about is, like, the locker room, the culture, and stuff like that. So I knew that would be cool to be a part of. So, yeah, I thought it was a good opportunity, and I'm grateful for it and excited to be here.
Can you tell us through the process, like, how it all happened for you, the Bills reaching out for you after, obviously, you're released? How did all that go down for you?
Yeah, it was pretty quick. I think because I'm a veteran, I don't have to clear waivers, so that probably helped speed the process along. But, yeah, I mean, I got released in Miami, hopped in the car, drove up to Tampa. That's where I live, and hung out at the house. Next thing I know, my agent called me, said, hey, Bean's going to reach out. So Bean reached out, and the next thing I know, I get a text from Josh with 2 eye emojis and all that good stuff. So it did kind of happen pretty quick, so which is nice because you never want to be out for too long. Nothing more than that.
Mike, do you have any other connections in this organization, anybody you've worked with in the past, things like that?
Joe, I mean, I've known Joe for quite some time, family friends from back in Pembroke Pines, but I mean, I know Ty, obviously played with Ty Johnson, played with Darrington, know Josh from our Manning Academy and draft process days, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I've known him from our USF days. So besides that, not really on the coaching side of it besides Joe, but yeah, again, happy to be here, happy to meet these guys and get to know them.
What about the idea of Mitch's status is uncertain, so you kind of have to get up to speed pretty quickly just in case thrust in action. How challenging is that, and just surface level here, how tough of a task do you think that's going to be?
Yeah, we've been, me and Kyle Shermer have been having a crash course in this offense. So, it helps that I've been through a couple systems and been through a couple spots. So you start to learn how to learn offenses. And granted, it's kind of easier when you're getting ready for a team. So there's a specific game plan that you can kind of hone in on. You're not having to learn the entire offense at once. And if something catastrophic happens, I'm sure we'll have a set of plays, all that good stuff. But yeah, I mean, at this point, just kind of taking it day at a time. Felt like a rookie back out there today, and just getting told from I didn't know what drills we were doing, and you know what I mean. So that wasn't fun. But besides that, they've been awesome. They understand the circumstances. They've been super accommodating, helpful. Any questions I have, Kyle's been there. I feel like I've seen him more these past 2 days than he's probably seen his wife. So. Probably have to get him something nice for teaching me like I'm a rookie all over again, but it's been fun.
Bean said that one of the things he liked about you watching from afar is whether you were starting or coming into a game, you kind of played with no fear and you just went out there and did it. What's that mindset like for you? How did you develop that?
Yeah, the no fear thing has kind of bit me in the butt a couple times because when I go to Highmark, I'm sure there's going to be a piece of my rib on the 30-yard line. But when you kind of have to make your way in this league, like in ops are few and far between, you got to take advantage of it and you got to be fearless. I mean, when I kind of learned that the hard way, my second camp in Dallas, you know, just cut it loose and have fun and no regrets. So that's kind of how I want to play and smart with it, you know, not risk the ball too much. But yeah, it's just cut it loose and I think it helps when you're prepared and you're confident. So that's why I try to prepare my tail off and know as much as I can and so I can be able to go out there and play like that.
That is Mike White, newest Buffalo Bills quarterback. He joins the Bills after a few years with the Jets and then going to the Dolphins. He did not have to pass through waivers, which is what he said, which is how everything happened so quickly. The Bills basically said, okay, gave him a call. And then how about Josh Allen sent him some eyeball emojis, basically, hey, let's get to work here, right? Okay, one more new Buffalo Bill we need to hear from. Brandon Codrington. Caught up with him after practice yesterday. This is the young man the Bills traded for from the New York Jets, who comes in and basically becomes their immediate punt and kick returner.
New rule. I just feel like it's really just another opportunity for punt returners. So, yeah, that sounds good.
You mentioned you thought you you put on waivers, but yeah. To have a team want to trade for you is a good sign. Yeah. I mean, what's the feeling like knowing that the Bills wanted to acquire you in that way?
You know, it's really a blessing. You know, it's still kind of nerve wracking. You know, I don't know anybody, so I'm trying to get everybody's name to face and face or face the name, however you want to call it. But you know, trying to get the nerves out the way. You know, I felt kind of nervous today at practice, so you know, just trying to get that out the way and. Just ball.
Brandon, what's the windiest you've ever had to field a punt in a football game?
I feel like today. So, I dropped my first kickoff return, and just the wind is a little different. So, you know, I just have to get adjusted. I just came back from the stadium, actually. Just caught some punts in the stadium and trying to get adjusted to that.
You haven't seen nothing yet.
Outside of reps, what can you do to get used to the wind?
I feel like it's just reps, like you said. You know, I feel like it's not something you can watch film on, or it's not something you just have to get a feel for it, you know. And I'm going to try to go down there as much as I can, like especially this weekend when everybody goes home, try to stay after, you know, and get reps at it. So I'm ready for next week.
Did you have a chance to sit down with Matthew Smiley? And if so, what did he say about, you know, watching your tape in the preseason, what he knows about you and those early conversations?
Yeah, so, you know, everything was brief. We're going to sit down today, you know, but I did get a chance to speak to him. You know, it was just – they all love my returning ability, you know, and they just want to see what I can do, and they really have faith in me, and that's all I really mean. It's a blessing.
Brandon Codrington, I mean, how about that? I asked him, what's the windiest you've ever fielded a punt in a game? Now, they didn't have a game yesterday, but he said today, meaning yesterday. It wasn't even that windy in Western New York yesterday. I believe he went into the stadium to work on it and, you know, to start judging it and understand the winds, kind of what he said to us there, but that just goes to show you how tough it is, how challenging it is in that stadium when it gets windy. For him to say that was wild. Brandon Codrington right there. All right, all that audio is on demand.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WGR550.com. Hopefully a little bit later, we'll also have some time to hear from UB Bulls, who are on the team. Of course, veteran Cam Lewis. And now Jamarcus Ingram, who made the 53-man roster. Caught up with them as well. But in the meantime, Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation, covers the Miami Dolphins. Used to be here in Buffalo. He joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So Miami will punt. Back-to-back possessions. Jake Bailey with a big punt. Sends Deontay Hardy all the way back to the 5. Has some space. Takes up. Look out, Hardy. Gets a block downfield. Hardy's going to go. He's at midfield. Nobody's going to catch him. Deontay Hardy, 95 yards.
That was Mike Tirico last year. Of course, that game flexed. Bills Dolphins comes down to it. Week 18. AFC East on the line. The Bills win the game. They win their four straight AFC divisional title. And now a lot of people wondering, hey, is it going to happen again? They're going to come down to a late game between the Bills, the Dolphins, when they play, I should say, in the standings at least. It's going to come down to a Bills-Jets, Dolphins-Jets, the AFC East. People still wondering, you know, where each of these teams falls. So to preview the Miami Dolphins right now is our guy, Marcel Louis-Jacques. Used to be in Buffalo here covering the Bills for ESPN NFL Nation. Now he's down in Miami. Great to talk to you, buddy. Always good to catch up.
Always, man. That was so delightfully petty. And the Deontay Hardy touchdown as my intro.
I know. And, you know, we were debating that, and I said, you know what? Play that. I said, but I don't want to, like, I don't want, I said, we'll talk about what it meant for the league. Because, honestly, it was a swing play and maybe a division championship, right? That's what happened. That's how close these two teams were. And that's really it, Marcel, which is, how close are they now compared to last year, considering the changes the Bills made and the changes the Dolphins made? I mean, where do you see the Dolphins' growth or step back at all compared to last year at this point?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I love it because
yes,
it means the rivalry is alive and well. And
no doubt.
Always, that's good for the league, good for the division. I think a lot of people are split about the AFC East, right? Because there's one faction that says, you know, okay, this is the Dolphins here. They've been building for this year, blah, 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 blah. You've got another that says, well, I mean, the Bills have run this with an iron fist for the past 4 years. They still have Josh Allen. I don't care about the losses on defense. This is still the team to beat. And then there's a third who says, okay, but Aaron Rodgers is healthy. The Jets might have the best roster top to bottom. It's their time. So, like, it really, like, I think everybody can make a legitimate argument here, and I don't know if I could outwardly call anybody wrong. I will say this, though. The Dolphins, their easiest part of the schedule is their first 10, 11 weeks of the season. If you look at that on paper, realistically, if you're a team that's got Super Bowl aspirations, you should be winning probably 8, 9, maybe even 10 of those games in your first 11 weeks. And if you think I'm exaggerating, go pull up the schedule and tell me that I'm wrong. The problem here is that the Dolphins are not healthy at this most critical part of the season where they could jump out to a big lead and maybe withstand a late collapse in December like they've done, unfortunately for them, they've done the past couple of years. So I don't think that's unfair of me to say. But when you look at, you know, the roster right now, they're not going to have Bradley Chubb. They're not going to have Odell Beckham Jr. They might not have Aaron Brewer. We're still waiting to see. We talked to Mike McDaniel here in a few minutes. We're still waiting to see what's going on with their starting center. So they've got a patchwork offensive line. They're one of their top two, top three pass rushers is not going to be available for at least the first 4 weeks. I don't, maybe longer. We have not even seen him practice yet. So like it's a kind of auspicious start here for Miami as they try to end Buffalo's bid. But, you know, the one constant they do have is those offensive skill players. That core, that coaching staff, that system, it's entering year three. And by all, you know, everybody I talk to down here, every player, every coach, like they're adding wrinkles in there. They're adding packages in there that they have not had the past 2 years because everybody, all the core, you know, that core group, feel so comfortable and so kind of at home in this system that now they're able to start to expand a little bit there. So we'll see what that looks like on the regular season. But I'll tell you, man, this is going to be a tight race. It might come down to another return in at the very end of the season. I think they're when are they in?
They play November 3rd. They play twice in the first 9 weeks. So if it's a punt return for either team, it would have to be late in the season. As you say, and I'm looking at the schedule, and we've talked about it here too. Boy, it is a gauntlet, especially starting with Thanksgiving night in Green Bay for Miami, which is going to be a cold weather game. They have another one. Yeah. They have another cold weather game at Cleveland and at the Jets to end the season. But they do have an early part of the season schedule that you said you could take advantage of. But with those injuries, what is the timeline on Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb specifically?
So Jalen Phillips, Jalen's been at practice now for, I believe it's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's trending toward playing in week one. I don't know how much concern there is for him, you know, 9 months removed from that Achilles tear. He looks great. He looks great. He's trained hard. He's rehabbed hard. They re-signed Emmanuel Ogba there to kind of fill the void left by Shaquille Barrett's retirement and then Bradley Chubb's absence, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
But then the name you got to watch is the rookie, the first-round pick, Chop Robinson, mm-hmm. has really taken off. You know, there's still some things he needs to do better, you know, mainly setting the edge in the run game. But, like, his first step is just, it's electric. And, you know, he's been picking veterans' brains. They all rave about him. The coaching staff and GM rave about him. He is going to have to make, they need him to make an impact sooner rather than later. And if he is able to, and he's cooking by the time Bradley Chubb gets back, all of a sudden, you know, this Dolphins pass rush rotation is one that you really need to pay attention to when in years past, I'm not sure that that has always been the case.
Yesterday, the Bills signed Mike White to their practice squad. Of course, he played mostly with the Jets. We had a Jets guest on yesterday to talk about his time there. But what about with Miami? What did you see from him in his limited time there, and why did they move on from him?
So like, Mike White is kind of a phenomenon, right? Like, we've all seen what he can do in games, right? Like, we've seen the 400-yard games, and we've seen the explosive spot starts. But that wasn't showing up on the practice field. And that's the reports that I was hearing about Mike White, even when he came over from the Jets, was that, like, he is a practice guy, or he's not a practice guy, but he is a gamer. Once those lights turn on, he is a different dude. And that's what you hope for out of your backup quarterback. You hope to catch lightning in a bottle for a start or two, and then, you know, ideally your starter is ready and back by the time that lightning has struck. But beyond that, really good teammate, really good dude, very down to earth and open. I think I saw the press conference he did yesterday, the scrum he did yesterday, where he joked that, like, yeah, there's probably a piece of his rib still left on Hyde Park Stadium field. I thought, you know, it's just, he's very self-aware. Like, it was always a pleasure talking to him. I think the media down there are going to enjoy him. I think the fans, they get to know him, and he really, you know, gets into the community. Fans will like him. Good dude. But definitely a backup quarterback. I think probably better than Mitch Trubisky from what I've seen from afar of Trubisky and how, you know, what I've been following from the beat up there. Probably a better option than Mitch Trubisky. At the very least, I think he's more productive in game. But just realize he's a gamer. Once the lights turn on, don't be too swayed by what you see in practice.
What about Skylar Thompson as the number two? Did he clearly beat him out? Are they very comfortable there? Obviously, you know, they did move on from Mike White, but, you know, just a guy that we saw here in Buffalo, obviously, a couple of years ago in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it was, Sal, it was close for most of the year, or most of the offseason. Like, there was, and, like, not even good close, man. Like, it was like, wow, this is an ugly competition behind Tua. It was funny because, you know, Tua, the first day of, was it training? I think it was training camp. He didn't participate, right? Like, Tua took, like, one or two snaps, and he handed the ball off both times. And then the second day, he didn't participate, or one of the two. And we got to see Skylar and Mike split first-team reps. And then it became so clear. And I remember Chris Greer was at practice that day. He usually is, but he was at practice that day. And I remember thinking, like, there's no way that you can watch this practice, that you can watch Skylar and Mike run this offense and say, like, okay, we can keep playing hardball with Tua. Like, something's got to get done. And sure enough, you know, a day or two later, it got done. It was an ugly competition, man. But I think Skylar really came into his own, and so did Mike. He improved further along into training camp. And Skylar really just ran away with that final preseason game. He obviously got a lot more run than Mike White did. But what he was able to do with his opportunities, and as Mike McDaniel said, the way that the team responded to him when he was in the game, when he was at the helm, I think made this decision a lot easier. You know, he's got playoff experience. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a fun game. It wasn't a fun playoff experience, but he's essentially played in two playoff games if you count the Bills and then the Jets game the week before where Miami had to win in order to get in. So, you know, he's got that big game experience. This is the only offensive system he knows in the NFL. And the team loves him. His teammates love him. So and he's cheaper. So, like, you know, by those powers combined, Skylar was a pretty obvious pick.
Marcel Louis-Jacques in the Wester Hotline. Marcel, how's Jordan Poyer doing down there?
Oh, man. I think Jordan is possibly the single biggest addition to this Dolphins team. And I know Bills fans, you're going to hear that and you're going to roll your eyes, right? Because you're going to say, like, oh, he's XYZ years old. Oh, he's only going to play this game. Oh, his body's going to fit. He's always going to be hurt. Whatever. The fact of the matter is mentally, he is home. And mentally, it's draining, right? Like, if imagine you got to go 2,000 miles away for work and leave your family behind for 6-7 months out of the year. So there's a calmness to being at home and playing, working where you live. And there's a mentality, Sal, that he all but admit the Bills knew the Dolphins didn't have when he got here, mm-hmm. which is like if you punch them in the mouth first, they kind of fold over. So he's bringing that attitude, especially in the secondary, you know, between him and Jalen Ramsey. Those are dogs, man. If they get hit in the face, they're not going to roll over. They're going to swing back. And that kind of attitude permeates through, matriculates through the rest of the team, the rest of the roster. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of one dog, two dogs on this team, you got a whole defense that's barking. So if he can stay healthy, you know, he fractured the base of his thumb a couple weeks ago, sat out for about a week in training camp. But, I mean, it's a thumb. I asked him about it last week, you know, hey, what's your level of pain tolerance? And he just kind of chuckled. He's like, man, I lacerated my spleen or my kidney,
yeah.
you know, earlier in my career. Like, I'll be fine. I think he rode from Buffalo to Kansas City with after puncturing his lung or something like that.
Yeah.
You guys know the details there. Nobody's going to question this guy's toughness. If he can walk, if he can catch a ball and tackle, this man is going to play no matter what. So I think he's been great, man. Saran Neal as well has been another, you know, kind of Buffalo carryover down here in Miami. He's bringing an edge on special teams that, you know, everybody up there in Western New York should be very familiar with.
Yep.
Made an impact right away in the preseason. And then, you know, he can make a couple plays defensively as well, although I think their secondary is deep enough that his number might not get called that often on defense, but you know who he is on special teams. That has not changed.
Is the offensive line good enough? I know there's some debate about, you know, how good they are or, you know, what they are going to be.
If you ask Chris Greer, they are good enough. We heard
yeah.
from him yesterday, and it is the tweet that keeps on tweeting right now, because I think it's up to like 70 quote tweets, 80 quote tweets
yep.
of Dolphins fans mad at him for saying that they're confident in the offensive line. And look, like, they understand, I think, to an extent, this line's limitations, right? Because they altered kind of their offensive scheme around not only keeping Tua healthy, you know, and protecting him, but limiting the impact that a poor offensive line could possibly have on him. He does get the ball out quicker than anybody else in the NFL. Like, that's a fact. Whether that means he's a first-read quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like, he gets the ball out fast. These receivers are fast. They get in and out of their breaks fast. Everything about this Dolphins offense is centers around speed. So, you know, if they can keep that up, then it's not going to be that big of an issue. But I think they like the guys that they have. I don't think the problem is talent per se. I think it's depth and health. You know, Teron Armstead is one of the best left tackles in the NFL when he's healthy, bar none. Like, that's, we can't debate that. The problem is he is about locked in to miss 4 or 5 games a year at this point of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's tough. That's why they go out and they draft a Patrick Paul, who I think once, you know, he's used to the speed of the game, he's used to, you know, he's seen a few veteran edge rushers, a couple moves and counters against them. I think he is going to be a mauler. This guy, he's one of those guys, Sal, you know what I mean, the first off the bus.
Yeah, guys. That's right. Oh, my God, look at that guy. We're in for it today, right?
This is one where you don't need binoculars to know what his quality is on the field.
I love
this
it.
This man is huge.
So, I love
like,
it.
That's the kind of guy they got there. But, you know, they lost Keon Smith for the season. Aaron Brewer, like I said before, he's dealing with some sort of hand injury. We're not going to get details on that until – they have to give us details on that next week. They just released Jack Driscoll to make room for, I think, another wide receiver. So the depth there is a little bit of a concern. I think you'd maybe have liked to see them attack that a little bit more ambitiously in the draft, but they did obviously, like I said, came away with Patrick Paul. It's going to be a fun little finish, Sal. Like, there's not a lot of confidence down here about it. I'm not ready to break the glass and hit the button yet. I want to see them play. They got a good test in week one with Josh Allen-Hines. Is it Allen-Hines or Hines-Allen? You know,
Hines-Allen, I think. That's right. He changed his name. That's right.
Yeah, he did. I want to respect him, but I know it's one combination of those. They got him, and then Tavon Walker, who had 10 sacks last year. Like, they've got a good test coming up in week one, and then obviously week two is week two. So, you know, after the first month of the season, I'll know whether this is a huge deal or not. But I will say there's not a lot of confidence among media members down here about the state of this offensive line.
All All right, last thing for you in the Dolphins, and this is a little deeper one. The Tua comments on Brian Flores and then Mike McDaniel. If our listeners haven't heard it yet, I'm going to play this for you. And Marcel, I want you to comment. I have some commentary I want to share with you as well on this, but go ahead. We're going to play that so our listeners hear. Go ahead, Josh.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, more and more, you start to actually believe that.
All right, so a couple things. I'm going to say something, and you can react to it all, Marcel, if I can for a second. Number one, Brian Flores came from the Bill Belichick tree. We know that's Bill Belichick coached out of fear. The world is different these days, right? And I think he kind of learned that, and I'm really glad that he kind of has done some introspection since then on that. That's my commentary on Brian Flores. But I'll also say, you know, Mike McDaniel, as you know, in case people don't, you know, he's been public about, you know, the fact that he's gone through his own struggles and sobriety and alcoholism. And for a guy like Mike McDaniel, I think he understands what that means to someone, having that relationship. I respect the hell out of Mike McDaniel, the way he coached. That's my commentary, but I'll let you go, Marcel.
Yeah, so, you can say, people can say a lot about Mike McDaniel's sense of humor. You know, maybe I have seen a lot of Bills fans, a lot of fans around the league say they're tired of the shtick, this guy's corny, blah, 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 blah. But, like, that's who he is. He is unapologetically himself. I've spent now, this is year three with him. And not only that, like I've talked to a lot of people, you know, teasing a story here that's going to drop some point this season.
Ooh.
I've talked to a lot of people who knew him even back in, like, you know, when he was a teenager, early 20s. This is who he's always been. So, like, you have to at least, it may not be for you, but you got to respect somebody unapologetically being themselves despite the circumstances. Win, lose, draw, whatever. Blowout win, blowout loss. This is always who he is, and players respect him. Not
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Just because he's so funny or he's so quirky, they respect him because he knows his you-know-what. Like, he knows his stuff. And, like, he knows how to connect with people, with players, treat them like they're human. That was always the issue with Brian Flores. You're right. It wasn't my way or highway. He was a tough coach, kind of a hard you know what. You know, I don't want to use profanity here, but he was a hard you know what. And some players don't respond to that, especially not nowadays, man. And like you can call these athletes soft era back in the day. I don't care what happened back in the day. We're in this day. And this era, this athlete, doesn't typically respond to that. They have to know that you've got their best interest at heart at the end of the day. It's not selfish. It's not being, you know, it's not me first. It's not being soft. It's logical, really, right? Like, I don't need to just respect you just because of the title. Like, I want to know the why. If you tell me to jump, I'm going to ask why. If you can tell me why, then I will jump as high as I can out the gym. But if you just bark at me, that's not going to get the desired response. And so, like, that is that's kind of the stark difference between Mike Mangini and Brian Flores. And look, this whole we have been, it's funny almost seeing this blow up like it has, right, over the past week or so, because, like, we have known this for 3 years. They did not get along. Right. It came to a head. I think even Ty Dunn profiled it. You know, I think he's maybe the only person that has actually written it. It's other than that, it's been kind of like a, you know, worst-kept secret down here.
Yeah.
Like, they came to a head during the Titans game in 2021. They were on this big winning streak, right? Like, after losing seven in a row, they win seven in a row. They had to beat the Titans in order to remain in the playoff hunt. And they did, I mean, just stomped. Like, Derrick Henry didn't play. Dante Foreman ran for, like, 200 yards. It was 30-3. Tua was horrible that game, despite the weather and rain and cold. Like, he was bad. And, I mean, Brian Flores just MF'd him in the locker room at halftime, and Tua snapped back. Like, you need to learn how to talk to people. Like, you don't talk to, you can't talk to people like that. I've got story, again, I can't share all the stories, but, like, there's not a lot of love lost for Brian Flores in this building to this day. Like, he stopped talking to his assistant coaches as well. Like, stop planning, stop doing it. It became, like, all on him. And to his credit, they won seven in a row. He's a fantastic coach, football mind. But there's more to coaching than just the X's and O's. There's more to it than just, like, you know, being able to scheme and do this or that and the third. Like, if you're not connected with your player, look at Vic Fangio last year. Didn't connect to his Dolphins team or his Dolphins players. Top 10 defense, didn't connect to his players. He's gone. Like, it's that simple. Anthony Weaver, total opposite. The first thing that they say when asked about him down here is, like, they love Weave the person because he loves them as the person before the football player. So it's just, it's been a total philosophical change down here in Miami. And again, like, you can call it soft, you can laugh and smirk and do this, that, and the third. And to, you know, it's probably fair, but it's not getting real playoff results. Then, like, it's fair to be critical. But the fact of the matter is, this is a new era of sports and athletes, and that Belichickian style doesn't work. Shoot, it didn't work for Bill at the end. Why would it work for Brian Flores or anybody else?
It hasn't worked for most of his assistants. Hey, I love that. Thanks. That's great stuff, and we look forward to that story that you're working on, and when you do, make sure you come back on here and promote it and share it and talk about it. We'll catch up down the road. Give me 20 seconds on the Miami Hurricanes. How good they're going to be?
Oh, man. Miami Hurricanes, as long as Crystal Ball is making the decisions, I am not confident in that program. I do think they go up to Gainesville and beat Florida. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have actually gone up to that game, but it is impossible to get a reasonable ticket or a hotel room. But I'll tell you what, like, Miami fans, they're dedicated, they're loyal. I hope that they continue to fill up Hard Rock for this season.
Hey, buddy, the shed is still standing, and it's standing tall. Thank you so much for your help. And, hey, thanks for doing this today. I know you're busy. You got some practice to go to, Mike McDaniel. Really appreciate it, Marcel. We'll catch up, I'm going to guess, before week two.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be here before we know it. Can't wait to see everybody down here, man.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, buddy. Marcel Louis-Jacques right there, Wester Hotline. All right, we'll take a timeout and then another quick one after that. I hate to eat and run, but we just have to do that this break, right? This segment. It's basically me getting in and getting out because we went long with Marcel, but that was great stuff. Needed to talk to Marcel Louis-Jacques. Catch that all on demand, WGR550.com, and on the Odyssey app. That's where you can also find It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, by the way. Check it out. A new episode dropped from Matt Bove and me the other day on the 53-man roster. And then this morning, we had a special with Mark Schlereth. So I'll give you time to go find that on your Odyssey app and at the Sal Sports YouTube channel while we take another timeout. And when we come back, Adam Krautwurst joins me. It's fantasy football draft weekend once again.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Tonight, we have our Buffalo Bills Media Fantasy Football Draft. How about that, Josh? Basically, a bunch of the beat reporters or, you know, reporters, whatever title you want to give people, TV, radio, print, we all get together, either in person. There'll be an in-person element for a bunch of us tonight. And if they can't make it in person, there's a, you know, virtual element that they can join in and, you know, do it online. And tonight is our draft. There are so many people. We have two divisions, And then at the end, the two divisions play off for the ultimate championship. Like, it's two leagues, basically. Two leagues, and then the winners play off for the ultimate championship. I did win the league I was in last year, but then I lost in the championship, I believe, to John Scott. I mean, it's such a blur now, I don't even want to give John credit, but I think John Scott actually won that. So, that's what we have going on tonight. I know a lot of you have drafts coming up. I've actually drawn a lot of people's drafts for, and I've done cameos, and people say, hey, can you draw our draft? And it's really cool, and we have fun with it. And I've had my son help me pick some of the names, or I just pick some of the names, or here's the reveal. I've done that. That's pretty cool. So I know a lot of you are doing drafts tonight. By the way, you can still, you know, check that out if you want to do it. But this weekend as well, it's going to be a big draft weekend. And then next week, I have a draft on Wednesday night, the night before the season starts. And then we're rocking and rolling on Thursday with NFL football and, of course, fantasy football. And joining me right now on the Western Hotline is our guy, Adam Krautwurst. He is at Full Time Fantasy, the Deep End Fantasy Football podcast as well. Works a lot and does some stuff with Mike Shope here on WGR as well. And Adam, thanks a lot, as always, for joining me here to break down fantasy football drafts and the final weekend of drafts and final week.
Yes, thanks for having me, Sal. Very, very exciting, actually. I'm drafting next week after the first game, so this is not my last weekend. So.
How? Okay, that's great. How does that work? Like, you just take you take the stats as of week one and incorporate it?
Yeah, that's how it works. So a lot of the high-stakes events out in Vegas and stuff, they draft next weekend to kind of incorporate it with opening weekend of football.
Okay.
And if you have a draft after, like, a Thursday or a Friday night game, you have we call it a free look. You have the option to play the player or to not play the player. So it does give you a little bit of an extra kind of look at the games before they get going.
Yeah, there's so many different ways and so many variations of doing it. When you get into a league like that, I mean, do you like these things? Do you experiment? Like, from your standpoint, is it just for you trial and error in certain leagues every year, then you don't go back? Or, you know, how does it work for you when you decide, like, what formats you want to play and what you want to do every year?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think it depends on, like, what your bandwidth is, like how much you can handle the different.
Yeah.
Like, a buddy of mine was just talking to me about guillotine. Like, that sounds like super fun, but it's just like with all the leagues, depending on if you do a lot of best ball, you can kind of dip your toes into everything, because best ball, you don't really have to set your lineups and stuff. But I've got so many lineup setting leagues that I'm kind of set into, like, what I like to do. I like to play at the FFWC Fantasy Football World Championships. The time amount. But there's so many fun leagues out there. There's dynasties, there's auctions, there's guillotines, there's home leagues have all types of crazy rules. But I just say people, especially when you're in a home league, just do whatever's most fun and then try something different every year.
Adam Krautwurst joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Is there a consensus number one? I've been in a couple of leagues and seen some things. My son did one last night, actually. And even in his league, he's 10 years old. Christian McCaffrey went number one. Is he the consensus?
I think he is. Even in leagues where you have to start three receivers and it makes them a little bit more valuable, I think it's still McCaffrey because of, you know, when he plays, he's going to be the number one ranked guy every single week. The question is, you know, when's that shoe going to drop? Is there going to be an injury? He was banged up in the playoffs last year and the year before. He's already been banged up this preseason. So it's a little scary. If you're only doing one league or two leagues, I would say go get the guy that you really want the most, whether that's CeeDee Lamb. I personally think at the end of the year, we're going to look back and see that Breece Hall was the number one running back. So if you're playing in one or two leagues, go get the guy that you want the most. If you're playing in a ton of leagues, then you usually should take McCaffrey at the 101 because you're not going to get an opportunity to take him kind of anywhere else in the draft. But Christian McCaffrey is going to be the number one ranked running back week to week whenever he's healthy.
What about the rest of the kind of top end of the first round? I mean, it seems like it's all wide receivers except for a couple. Of course, there's a couple running backs like McCaffrey. But really, when you get into, if you have a 10-team or 12-team league, you're getting into the second round and, like, the top eight receivers seem to be gone already.
Yeah, that's how it works. I think people are kind of coming around to the fact that, like, receivers just get hurt less than running backs do. And so they don't want to blow, you know, they say you can't win your league in the first round, but you can lose it. It's really hard to win your league when your running backs are hurt. And there's just not a lot of workhorses to sell like there used to be. Like, you've got McCaffrey and probably Bijan and Breece Hall. Those guys are going to get all the goal line carries. They're going to get all the catches. But after that, even when you look at, like, Saquon and Jonathan Taylor, those guys are, I guess, traditional size workhorse backs, but they're not going to get the catches, I don't think, this year with the quarterbacks who don't like to throw to the running back, and they're going to lose goal line carries to Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson. So There's only three, maybe four workhorse backs. So after that, man, go take your Amon-Ra St. Browns, your Tyreek Hills, and go get those receivers that can catch 120 balls.
Who do you like that isn't going among that group? Like, if you wait a few rounds, give me a couple names, a couple people out there you can help their draft a little bit here. Where's some value maybe at the wide receiver position in the middle rounds?
Wide receiver position, I really like if we're talking third round, I like Jalen Waddle this year a lot. I think he's kind of a post-type sleeper. He was going in the second last year, was kind of dinged up a lot, but that offense, man, they know exactly what they're doing. I really like Waddle in the third round, fourth round. T. Higgins is a guy I've taken a lot of. This Jamar Chase kind of hold-out thing kind of makes me nervous. Higgins has always been a second or third round pick. He's going to like the fifth, sixth round now. He's a guy, contract year, has looked really good. Burrow loves him. He has that trust there. And another kind of later guy, Deontay Johnson, is a guy that I've been taking a lot of. He's always been a huge target earner. He goes to Carolina. They added some weapons there to try to see if they can get something out of their number one overall pick there. And I think even in the preseason, he was getting all the work with the first team offense. He was getting all the targets, high target share. So he's a guy in your home that you can get as like your wide receiver four or five. And I think you'll really, really like that.
The tight end position is very interesting to me this year, Adam. And I've seen a lot of fluctuation there. And of course, there's no guess on what Dalton Kincaid's going to be this year. And I think he's going to be really good. And that's reflecting of it. I think you'd agree, you know, in fantasy football drafts. But, you know, where does he fall? You have Mark Andrews and George Kittle and Trey McBride is a really interesting one. That's been a really interesting spot for me to monitor this year.
Yeah, it's been fun because normally there's always like that number one alpha tight end, whether it's Kelsey for the last couple of years or Gronkowski before that or whatever, Jimmy Grant, like he's always had like this number one. But this year, man, it could be anybody. Kelsey's not going to play as much, but when he does play, he's going to get the targets. But McBride, Laporta, Kelsey, Andrews, Kincaid, I could see any one of those guys finishing as the number one overall tight end. I kind of lean into McBride a little bit in Andrews. Andrews has done it before. Andrews has been the tight end one before. He got hurt last year. When he's not hurt, I think he's still the guy there. So I really like him. And McBride's kind of a coming on a star. He was unbelievable in the second half of last year once Kyler Murray got back. I think that rapport is going to click. But don't sleep on Evan Ingram. He's a guy I've been taking a lot in drafts. Him and Trevor Lawrence were awesome last year. This preseason, they were insane. They just had two touchdowns in their last preseason game. Lawrence has looked incredible. The Jaguars' offense has looked good. So if you miss out on those first four or five guys, don't forget about Evan Ingram because I think he's going to be really, really good.
Are you among the movement of don't draft kickers anymore? I mean, I see a lot of leagues. We still do in most of the leagues that I'm in. And I mean, I'm actually in a few leagues, but we still draft kickers in these leagues. But a lot of leagues have gone away from not drafting kickers anymore at all.
It doesn't matter to me. I think you should. Like, I think you should incorporate everything that you can for fantasy points. That's what makes it fun. You just have to understand that they're going to be volatile. You can't really predict them week to week because it's hard. I used to do projections for kickers for websites and stuff, and it's just like, well, you want a kicker on a good offense, but not too good because you don't want them to score a touchdown. You want them to kick a field goal. You know, you want guys that play in domes. It's just hard to predict defenses and kickers week to week. I think they should be in there, but I also wouldn't care. You know, it wouldn't hurt me either way if they were taken out.
Adam Krautwurst here joining us. It's the last weekend for fantasy football drafts, but as he said, it doesn't have to be. You could do a lot of different formats here. What other formats do you like right now? Guillotine, I started a couple years ago. Jeremy White runs our Guillotine League here. I really like it. Obviously, you could get out early, and then you're done. You have the best ball formats. I know Mike likes to play a lot of best ball formats. What have you gravitated to over the last few years?
Yeah, best ball is awesome because, you know, our favorite part of fantasy football is drafting, right? And best ball allows you to just draft your team. And for people who don't know, you draft your team, and then you don't touch it. You don't set your lineup. There's no waivers. There's no trades. There's no nothing. And every week, the computer pulls your highest scoring team, and that's what's played. So it's fun in the sense that you can go on and you can draft as many teams you ever wanted and not have to worry about the time consumption of setting lineups. So that's always fun. I always recommend that. The smaller idea leagues that I like to do is auction leagues. Auction leagues are my favorite because I feel like I have an edge, or if you think you really know your stuff, you have an edge in an auction league because you can get whoever you want. Let's say you think, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the best player this year, but you have picked 10, you're never going to get him. And in an auction league, you can go get your favorite players, your best guys, and you can build that way. I always suggest them. They're a little bit kind of, it's a newer, not newer thing, but guys are kind of intimidated by it. I would suggest just turn your home league into an auction league or add an auction league onto your schedule. You might absolutely love it. It's fun to kind of bid against your friends, bid up their favorite players and stuff like that. So that's always fun. But auction leagues are kind of where my head's at.
All right. And then obviously, if you're listening here in Buffalo, you may be in a league with a lot of Bills fans. And, you know, teams, people are going to take maybe their favorite players, their favorite team a little bit earlier than in most leagues. But let's just talk about a couple of Bills. So let's say you're going into a draft. You want to appropriately assess where you should take Keon Coleman or James Cook. We talked about Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel. Give me just the general feel maybe on those three guys. Let's go with Coleman, Cook, and Samuel.
Coleman, yeah. I've been getting this receiver question for like 5 months now, and I'm feeling more confident right now in Shakir than I am Coleman as far as, like, I just don't know what, you know, the Bills have been talking about, and you know this, so they've been talking about, hey, we want our red zone guys to be awesome in the red zone. We want our run-after-catch guys to be good after the catch, our hands guys to catch. They're kind of like putting them in their own little mold of what they're going to offer to the team. And Coleman, I think, is going to be that red zone guy. But, you know, in that preseason game, he couldn't get loose from coverage. He couldn't really get open. A couple of his passes were a little bit high, but I think he'll be okay. But in a rookie year, I feel like this is a guy that we might need to see progress, and I could see him end up being like the third receiver on this team, or even the fourth receiving option on this team week to week. So I'm kind of out on Coleman at fantasy value. Curtis Samuel was a guy that was kind of being seen as maybe their number one fantasy asset, but then he got dinged up. But I think he'll be ready for week one. But he's another guy. Again, if you're playing best ball, you can grab all these guys, and it doesn't matter what week you start them. But the guy that I've been kind of leaning on in the receiving core has been Shakir lately.
I'm glad you brought him up.
I just think he's going to be solid. He's going to probably have the most receptions out of any of the receivers. And he's just consistent. He's solid. And I think he has that rapport with Josh. So I would definitely, he would be the receiver that I would be grabbing. But James Cook is actually, I'm off of James Cook this year. I was, so he's a guy that I think he was second or third in the league in rushing last year. And he still only finished as RB13 overall in fantasy. And he didn't miss a game. So he finished as RB19 in points per game. So this is a guy that probably peaked as far as rushing is concerned and still couldn't get into the top 12 running backs. He's only got three or four rushing touchdowns through two seasons. And so it makes me nervous when you've got a guy that has question marks about his hands. He dropped four touchdowns and he doesn't get the goal line work. He's probably their third option on the goal line behind Josh Allen and the rookie running back. So he's a guy that at RB 13, 14 in drafts, I'm fading. I would rather have a guy later on or earlier than him. Not saying he's not going to be good for the Bills, but you want your running backs. For your running backs, you want guys that catch passes and score touchdowns, and he really doesn't do either.
No, it's a really good point, especially with the draft pick of Ray Davis. Where do you fall on Anthony Richardson? There's been a lot of variance on him.
Absolutely love him. Absolutely love him. I have him. It's hard to do for projections and have guys getting hurt, but if he plays, you know, every game or most of the games, I have him as my quarterback too. He's just going to run for 15 scores. He's going to run for close to 1,000 yards if he stays healthy. Now, if I'm drafting him, I am also drafting my second quarterback a little bit earlier than I normally would. Like, if I was going to draft, like, a Josh Allen, I might not even take us as a second quarterback. But if I've got Anthony Richardson, I might dip my toe into the water and get, like, a Tua or a Brock Purdy just in case he gets hurt. You want to have that solid backup there to kind of be able to fill in for him. But game-to-game, Sal, I think he played three games last year, and he was, like, quarterback one, quarterback three, and quarterback seven. Like, the guy's just he's unbelievable.
And then finally, Adam, on quarterbacks, how about the rookies? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, obviously we know J.J.'s not going to play. Obviously, Drake May's not going to start. Maybe that's someone you want to take later on because he could get inserted at any point. Where do you fall on the rookies?
I love the rookies again, those rookies that have the dual, the rushing is what really leads to the upside for these guys. I loved Jaden Daniels. He's a crazy athlete, and he has a really good deep ball, and he even showed that in the preseason, so I really like him. But he's been steamed up ever since he had that nice preseason game, so it's hard to get him at value. But Caleb Williams, how can you go wrong there, too? A guy who can run and throw, and has a ton of weapons. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. I mean, the guy's got weapons galore, and you saw that against the Bills. A play would break down, he dumps it over the top to Swift, and he goes for 30 yards. So I really like them outside of the elite guys. I like them maybe QB12, QB10, somewhere in there. I think you're going to be fine with them. You're going to be happy with them, but they might be a little inconsistent. But I think at the end of the year, they'll be there.
Adam Krautwurst, local guy too. He's out in Rochester, but he's helping you out for your fantasy football drafts no matter where you are drafting, no matter where your draft is and who you're doing it with. Give everybody all the information about where you can help everybody this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'm over at Full-Time Fantasy. You can check them out at the Fantasy Football World Championships. I do a weekly podcast with them and also a weekly podcast at Deep End FF1 with Mike Shope. We go over all the kind of the weekly stuff that happened on Sunday and recap that. And you can find me at Adam_Krautwurst on Twitter as well.
Great job, buddy. Thanks always for doing this. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road and talk some more fantasy.
Thanks so much, Sal.
All right, you got it. Adam Krautwurst right there on the Wester Hotline. All right, yesterday in the Bills locker room, told you earlier, got some sound for you from Joe Andreessen, who made the 53, Mike White, new quarterback, Brandon Codrington, new punt returner. I also caught up with the two other University at Buffalo Bulls. There's three of them. The veteran, Cam Lewis. Here's what he had to say.
Okay, three Buffalo Bulls on this roster. Tell me the secret. Tell me what you feel about it.
I don't know, man. We're a hardworking university. Yeah. Breed the underdogs, you know. We just grind, and then we just wait for our opportunity. So it's wonderful to have, you know, three UB Bulls up here and on the same team, man. That's wonderful.
Gone through a few coaching changes at that level since you've been here. Have you gotten to know Coach Lembo at all?
Not yet, no, but I'm going to go to the game on Thursday, so I'm going to meet him, check him out. Hopefully they come down with a win, so go out there and cheer him on, man. I'm excited.
And you've seen Jamarcus's, you know, growth to this point. How cool is it for him?
It's really awesome, man. It's kind of just like me, man, just starting off on the practice squad like 2 years in a row, and then the third time around, man, just doing whatever you got to do, you know, to make the team, and that's what he did, man. He had an awesome preseason playing outside, and then they start sprinkling in that nickel too, and then special teams ability helps as well. So I'm super proud of him, man, and Joe as well, man, just taking his opportunities that was given to him and making the most of it.
That is Cam Lewis, University at Buffalo. We're going to talk to Paul Peck in a little while because they do play tonight. You heard him say, you know, he might get a chance to go to the game here tonight. They're playing Lafayette, but in the meantime, another UB Bull. Jamarcus Ingram makes the 53. Hey, listen, if you've listened to this show for the last 2 years, you know that I've been on the Jamarcus Ingram train for quite a while. I think this kid can play. I'm super happy for him. Great local story as well from a local university, of course, at the University of Buffalo. He made the 53. I asked him about what Cam said about his journey reflecting what Jamarcus's Ingram's journey has been.
So just to start it off, just how did it feel to just know that you made the 53-man roster?
Man, it's a blessing. Really, that's all I can say. It's just a blessing. And I was excited. You know, I got to tell my family and just, you know, embrace the moment and kind of just live in the moment, you know what I'm saying, and just enjoy it and, you know, continue to put one foot right in front of the other.
What did you work on this offseason to ensure that you would be here?
Really just, you know, my mindset and my technique, you know what I'm saying, and the things that I do every day, you know, fundamentals, and really, like I said, the mindset, you know what I'm saying, just the belief, you know what I'm saying, knowing that I could do it, and then also just embracing, you know, the opportunity that was presented.
Three University at Buffalo Bulls. How do you feel about that, and how cool is that?
Man, that's amazing. You know, for us to be, you know, the hometown heroes, that's how I kind of look at it. Being from the country and stuff like that, you know, that's kind of like something that, you know, a lot of people do, you know, being a hometown hero. You come back and, with being in Buffalo, you know, it's amazing that three of us, you know, can put on for Buffalo and just so you know that anything is possible.
Cam just told me that your journey reminds him a lot of his journey. Started out in the practice squad, had to really fight to earn a spot, and then he's here. How much have you leaned on Cam through your time here?
All the time. You know, Cam is a great guy. Being able to, you know, talk to him and kind of pick his brain on what he's been through, you know, and what it takes, you know, to be in the league as long as he has, you know. And he actually came to Buffalo when I was at Buffalo. He came back and worked out with us and stuff like that and gave us some wisdom and knowledge. So, you know, being able to come to work, you know, with him every day, it's great to have him around and somebody that I sit by every day in special teams, you know, and just ask him, like, questions and how he sees the game and you know, just playing multiple positions, kind of like, you know, him. So always trying to learn from him and grow from him. And he's a great guy, you know, to be able to learn from every day.
Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, University at Buffalo Bulls, Joe Andreessen, University at Buffalo. Tonight, UB, they take on Lafayette at home. We're going to talk with Paul Peck, voice of the Bulls, next up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, the buy-in has been tremendous. It has been a pleasure to work with these guys. I can count the number of practices since we got here on one hand that I haven't been totally excited about the effort and the chemistry that's building out there. So I do believe these guys love what they do. They're invested. They're buying into the culture. They're practicing hard. I think that'll translate to playing hard. Now the key is, how quickly can we come together and put a product out there on the field to look as if we've been together for a few years and not just a few months?
That is University at Buffalo Bulls head coach Pete Lembo. He joined me last week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can hear all of his comments on demand at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. Lafayette at UB tonight. The college football season kicking off here locally and a lot of games around the nation. 30 games I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about this morning. That's amazing. We are here, folks. It is football season, college football this weekend. Joining me on the West Her Hotline, Paul Peck, voice of the Bulls, former anchor here in Buffalo in sports, talk show host, I think former Mike Tirico roommate at Syracuse. He's done a little bit of everything, right? Do I have that right? Were you Tirico's roommate?
That is correct.
All right.
I don't know what that qualifies me for, if anything, you know, other than he gets me tickets every once.
There you go.
When he can. So,
I love it.
But yeah, you know, just a little backstory of my life is we've been friends for 30 plus years this day, and he's one of the finest men I have ever been around, and I don't think that'll surprise anybody that watches how well he does his job.
No doubt about it. And you've been doing this job for a while, covering UB. How many years for you now on the call for the UB Bulls?
25.
Wow.
And I don't tend to get hung up on those kinds of things in general, but when it occurred to me that this is year 25 for me doing UB football, you do kind of step back and go, hey, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, to be able to do this job for that long at one place, I'm incredibly fortunate and thankful to everybody at UB through that course of time that they allow me to stick around and call football, and it's just it's the most fun part of my life, and I appreciate it very much. So yeah, it's a pretty cool little milestone personally.
And of course, we'll carry the game here locally on the Bet 1520. Lafayette at the University of Buffalo tonight. They're getting kicked off at 7 p.m. Well, 25 years, you've been through a lot of different staffs and coaching changes. You know, that's just what the nature of the business is, no matter what sport you're covering. How about Pete Lembo? I talked to him last week, but this is our first chance to see him as the head coach of the Bulls. Of course, he's been in the conference before. What can you tell us about Coach Lembo and what you've seen so far?
He's awesome, and I think you got a sense of that when you interviewed him last week. He's a football coach. This is his fourth head coaching job. That experience is immeasurable in that he's been there, he's done that, he's seen it, he knows it. He's just a great guy, great personality, loves his pop culture and his 80s movies, trivia, and history. Like, he's just an awesome guy to want to sit around and talk football with. But as a football coach, he's got a great resume. He's been very successful in this conference. He has then now been very successful as a special teams coordinator at a bunch of big-time schools, considered one of the best special teams coaches in the country. So he just brings a different attitude of, I'm not learning on the job. I know what I need. I know what I got. He brought a great group of assistants, mostly younger, but almost all of them with ties to him, so they know what he wants, so he can be the CEO, which I believe even in college now, you have to be a great CEO as a head coach and trust your assistants to implement what you want to do on the field. Pete is great at that. The Bulls are, even through the course of preseason and spring ball, much better prepared, much better managed. The attitude's been great. You talk to any of the players, they just love being in the building now. And you know, and losing over the last couple of years probably has something to do with the opposite feeling. But to me, it's just the difference of a guy who's been 33 years in coaching, fourth head coaching stop, versus a guy in Mo Lingus last year who was at his first head coaching job. And it's just hard to learn and know when you haven't done the job before.
What about on the field? What are we going to expect from the Bulls? Give fans maybe a little preview of some of the names to watch out for this year, to look for when they go to a game, they watch them on TV, and who might be really the catalysts for this team to try them, you know, help to get them back on top of the MAC.
Yeah, and again, all that said about Coach, in the world that we live in now, you know, they lost some good players to the portal. They brought a lot of
transfer players in. They're relying on a lot of players that haven't really played a lot and are untested. And will they be, you know, better coached and better planned and all that stuff? But ultimately, there's a lot of question marks. It starts at quarterback, not really a lot of experience. C.J. Agbana played a little bit last year as sort of a running athletic option for the offense, but, you know, didn't look great, but he'll be the starter. He's started at the FCS level before. He's won a junior college national championship. He's been the guy before, but never really here. And I think a lot of it will depend on how well he settles into the job, how much can this coaching staff get out of him that they may not have been able to get out of him last year. He looks a lot better, a lot more confident, a lot more comfortable just through the preseason, so that's a good sign. You know, the have a couple of really young, exciting players at running back. Aljay Henderson is a junior at running back, played a little bit 2 years ago, was hurt most of last year. And then the guy that will share the running back duties with is a kid from Ohio named Lamar Sperling, who was the USA Today National High School Player of the Year 2 years ago, and he ran for over almost 4,000 yards as a senior in Akron, Ohio. So there's a guy a little bit smaller, undersized, but man, you just don't see those kind of credentials at the MAC level. And if he can play to that, he'll be a really exciting, you know, in that tradition of Jarrett Patterson and some of the other great running backs. Nick McMillan, the kid from Buffalo who was at Canisius High School for a good part of his career, is likely the number one target at receiver and a guy who really could break through and emerge this year. So those are some of the names on offense. On defense, a lot more experience and a lot more veteran group. Sean Dolak, the West Seneca kid, back and healthy. He'll be the leader of defense. They have another linebacker named Red Murdoch, who has really started to emerge last year, makes a lot of plays. Marcus Fuqua is a safety who had 7 interceptions and was an All-American 2 years ago. And there's a whole group of other experienced guys in the secondary. So I think the defense is ahead of their offense right now, just based on experience and proven play. And, you know, and we'll see whether the defense can carry this team for a little while until the offense settles in. And I will say this to you, we don't talk about this a lot, but Pete Lembo's a special teams guy. They've spent a lot of time on special teams.
Yep.
At practice, I think strategically, because it's what Pete knows, I think he feels like there's an advantage there. If this team has the best or one of the better special teams in the conference, you might win a couple games that way that maybe you wouldn't because your offense is struggling a little bit. So, again, back to a plan, right? There's a plan there from a guy who's seen it and done it, and Pete probably said, you know what, we're gonna win some games on special teams or create some field position advantages for us and make life easier on our offense and defense.
By the way, Red Murdoch sounds like the title character of a movie, and you do not want to run into him.
That is correct, right? Yeah, that's a good middle linebacker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great.
Really is.
I love that for sure. Yeah. What does the MAC look like this year from doing your research around the conference? A lot of changes, obviously, across college football, but what does the MAC look like this year?
Well, here's where it could be an advantage for a program like Buffalo's. Toledo and Miami are likely the two head and shoulders teams. Miami is bringing really the best quarterback back. Toledo always has a lot of talent, lost some players, including a first-round draft pick last year, but they always have a lot of talent. You know, there's a couple other schools, Western Michigan, Northern Illinois, look like they've got some players. The rest of the league is exactly where UB is. Lots of question marks, lost quarterbacks, untested quarterbacks, best players went into the portal, went to Power 4 programs. So there's about a 7 or 8 team jumble of the 12 teams in the MAC where I don't know that there's any of those teams that you could say right now is much better than the other. It'll have to play itself out, which again goes back to, man, if you have the best special teams at UB in that group, maybe you win a couple of those games. You know, so it's the MAC is kind of what it is, right? If you're a Group of Five program in college football now, you're kind of a farm system. It's going to be hard to keep your best players. There's going to be turnover, coaching staff, and so forth. So it's a very much a year-to-year, and there's a lot in the MAC that is, were they good last year? Yeah, but their 3 best players are gone. Are they going to be good this year? There's a lot of that.
Paul, you're in a unique perspective. You've watched all three of these new Buffalo Bills who played at the University of Buffalo at their various points in their career. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, and of course now, Joe Andreessen. First of all, just from your perspective, how cool is it to see three Buffalo Bulls playing for the local NFL team, the Buffalo Bills? And if you could just kind of touch on those three players and their journey to get here and what you've seen.
Yeah, it's awesome. The nice thing is right now the Bulls have about 10 players in the NFL right now on practice squads and rosters, which is amazing for what the program is. But of those three guys, what they have in common is they were all undrafted. They were all very good players here, but that doesn't always mean you get the chance to do it at the NFL. And whether the Bills scouts saw enough of those games because it was local to see what we all saw. Cam Lewis is one of the best players in the MAC. On that loaded team, 2018 and 19, when the Bulls were top 25, 2020 going to Bulls, like, he was one of the best players. Lance Leipold called him one of the toughest players he's ever been around. But he was smaller. And the coaches would say, stop throwing yourself in the pile to make tackles. You're going to get hurt, because he did a little bit here at UB. But to see what he has been able to do, smart, in the right place, knows where he needs to go, not the most physically gifted guy. Cam's one of my all-time favorites, and I couldn't be happier to see the kind of success he had. Jamarcus Ingram was really a one-year guy here after a couple of other stops, brought in, started the whole year at corner, played okay. I don't know that I would have told you if you'd asked me going into that year that this guy is an NFL player. But again, good, smart, physical, long, enough for the Bills to see something in him to develop. And they've given him the time to do that, which you don't always get in the NFL. And look where he is now as a key guy in your secondary. And, of course, the Joe Andreessen story is amazing. Again, only a one-year guy here. And I'll say this to you, Sal, and you'll know what I mean. Joe Andreessen has Sean Dolak to thank for a lot of this. Because if Sean doesn't get hurt last year and he missed the last seven games of the year, I don't know that Joe plays as much as he did here. Puts up the numbers that he did here, opens some people's eyes that he did here. Joe was great last year, led the team in tackles, led the team in tackles for loss, which is always a indicator of athletic ability and smarts, yep, which is exactly what has helped him make the Bills. But, what a crazy story, from rookie tryout to, the last guy on the team. He was an FCS player and then moved here for the 1 year because at the level that he played, they didn't let you redshirt, so he had 1 year of eligibility left but couldn't stay where he was at Bryant, so he came home to play for the Bulls. And again, circumstances with the depth at linebacker was pretty good for the Bulls last year. Sean gets hurt. Joe plays every snap, and look where he is now. It's an amazing story and an awesome kid, and I'm so happy for him.
All right, two things before I let you go. Number one, give everybody a good reason to go out to watch the UB football team play tonight at UB Stadium against Lafayette.
Hey, college football is not the NFL, right?
Yep. It,
as much as sometimes it's getting that way with money and salary caps and all the other stuff, it's fun. It's unpredictable, right? You never know. That the great thing that I love about those 25 years of calling games is I never could walk into that stadium knowing exactly what was going to happen, and that's what's great about college football. It's a fun atmosphere. Yeah. There'll be a good turnout by the students. It's a nice night today. You've got a new coach that's likable, that loves Buffalo. You got a bunch of Buffalo kids playing hard. It's not the NFL. It never will be. But is it a fun, cheap, easy evening to go watch some football to start your Labor Day weekend off? Absolutely. And just understand what it is. And the Bulls are kind of rebuilding a little bit, and they've got some question marks. But as far as the entertainment value, I think that's absolutely, for a football fan who wants to get themselves back into football mode, it should be a great night tonight at UB Stadium.
That's a great promotion. And finally, tomorrow, Paul, I'll be talking here on this program with John Wildhack, Syracuse University Athletics Director. Now, they open up, obviously, at home against Ohio. A big change there with Fran Brown. We know he can recruit. We have to find out if he can coach. Is there anything else that you'd like me to ask John Wildhack about Syracuse University tomorrow?
Well, you know, I mean, again, they're putting their stock into a guy with a great resume, but he's never been a head coach before, and he's got a lot of ties to the Northeast, which I think is important. They brought a lot of high-profile players in, including Devin Grant, who was an All-MAC player for the Bulls last year at safety, is going to play and start for Syracuse this year. So they were very aggressive, and, you know, it's you know, I think just ask them, you know, and I'm sure you will, you know, what was appealing about what Fran Brown's plan was. And at least to this point, they did a pretty good job winning the offseason. You know, we'll see how it goes. They're in a tough league, right? It's a tough league. They're sort of an outlier with Boston College and Pitt in a mostly Southern league. So I think they're always kind of climbing uphill a little bit at Syracuse now, but that doesn't mean you can't be a good, solid upper middle program and get to a bowl game. And that's probably what John will tell you is the goal right now.
Fran Brown's plan. I have it written down in my notes, buddy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hey, great job. You know, good luck this year. You've always done a great job, but have a great season. And we'll be listening on the call tonight on the Bet 1520 and all season long. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. 7 o'clock with Scott Wilson and Brad Ryder. We have a great group, and we try to have some fun, and hopefully the games provide us some fun. We'll do our best for that, and we're looking forward to another fun season. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, Paul. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the game.
Thanks.
Paul Peck right there on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout, and yeah, I'll set up tomorrow for you. John Wildhass is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Raiders have signed Justin Shorter to their practice squad. The only thing, I got to tweet this out because I'm going to ask, did Justin Shorter switch positions? Because is he the new Jordan Matthews? Who did do that, by the way? Because the Raiders put him as a tight end. Justin Shorter is a wide receiver. Now, maybe he's going to wear 88. That is a tight end number. I mean, it could be a receiver number too, but generally you see tight ends wearing 88. All right, Justin Shorter. He's now a Raider. Yes, tomorrow, real quick, tomorrow, John Wildhack, Syracuse University Athletics Director, is going to join me. We do it every year. He's going to preview their game Saturday at home against Ohio to kick off the season, talk about their new head coach, Fran Brown. Also, some of the issues going on with college athletics these days, not only NIL and portal, but also realignment, TV contracts, the college football playoff. There's a lot that we can get to tomorrow with John Wildhack. I have not yet reached out to Patrick Hamer, but if he's available, I'll try to get him on tomorrow just to give you a Labor Day weekend forecast and maybe a quick, kind of a slight, who knows, look ahead to, you know, week number one, which is just 10 days away. Bills and the Arizona Cardinals. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Then it's Show and the Bulldog here on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? fashion. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.